हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now the Pandavas have been, Duryodhana has come up with a new plan, and the Pandavas are being called back for a second game of dice. And so now Yudhishthira's just returned. The five brothers soon arrived back at Hastinapur. To the consternation of the friends and well-wishers, they again entered Dhritarashtra's great hall. Although he knew full well that he had no chance of success, Yudhishthira sat down to play dice with Shakuni one last time. When the Pandavas were again seated in the hall, Shakuni said, "Yudhishthira, the old king has returned your wealth. That is well. Now let us play with a stake of greater value." Right before they took everything and all that, and the wife and that, so what's of greater value? All it means, they want to make a stake that's of greater value to them, Duryodhana. Means by the previous one, that didn't really work out. It was good fun, they harassed them, but this one, then they can get rid of them, and then this way, everything will go nicely. Because last time, they didn't have a plan what to do to get rid of them. They just took everything, but now what do they do? They're going to have them as their servants in their household, and any time, Bhima could kill them. So it wasn't a great plan. This is a better plan. So, therefore, with a stake of greater value. If we are defeated, we shall accept exile in the forest. We will wear deer skins and remain there for 12 years. During the 13th year, we will live in a city, town, or village. If you should discover us, however, we shall be exiled in the forest for another 12 years. If you are defeated, you and your brothers, along with Draupadi, will accept the same conditions. Shakuni's mouth curved into a sinister smile. The dice in his hand clacked as he explained the stakes, right? Because they put the flat ones like this and they roll them like this. So then they'll clack together. Whichever side was the loser would be expected to surrender the kingdom to the winner. The kingdom would be returned when the 13th year period was over. Right? But because Duryodhana is thinking, I'm going to get this forever, then we'll see he won't return it. Because it's not about the stakes. All these arrangements are just ways that he goes about attaining his own goals. And he's able to apply these sinful methods because he can depend upon Yudhishthira acting in a proper, in a pious way. As the stakes were described, all those in the hall cried out, "Alas! Shame on Duryodhana's friends and that they do not warn him of the danger he brings upon himself." Some of them turned to Dhritarashtra and said, "Whether or not Duryodhana understands its foolishness, you should order him to stop. He will bring down only death and destruction. Check him at once. This is your duty." Dhritarashtra said nothing, and Yudhishthira replied, "O king, how can one like me who has always observed the Kshatriya's duty refuse your challenge?" Right? He's been challenged, so how can he refuse? "Everyone knows this about me. Besides, it is Dhritarashtra, my father and guru, who orders me to play. What can I do but accept the stakes?" So these are the stakes. Does he accept them enough? His father's ordering him to play like that. And he's been challenged. So their whole plan hinges on that he'll accept because of his religious nature. And they're taking full advantage of this. The game began. Everyone in the hall sat breathless as it moved towards this inevitable conclusion. Finally, Shakuni's "I have won" echoed around the hall again, you know, because he has his method, how he does. Because, you know, he makes it very dramatic, and how is that? Because then it'll please Duryodhana. The guru elders cried out, "Alas, shame, this ancient house is doomed." Right? Duryodhana laughed and ordered that deerskins be brought immediately for the Pandavas. Right? You know, so it's not like it's You can see all along, just he has a thing. He's just going through plotting with this thing. He sees nothing else but his plan. You know, so it's not like they're cousins, okay, the next morning that they'll leave and go to the forest. No, it's right now. They got to go now. He's so impatient. When the brothers had put on the ascetic garb and were preparing to leave for the forest, Dushasana spoke in great happiness. Now Duryodhana's unopposed and absolute sovereignty shall begin. The Pandavas stand vanquished. Indeed, they are miserable. Whether or not we have acted sinfully does not matter. It is clear that the gods have bestowed their grace upon us, for today we have defeated our enemies, right? So they're saying, yes, they bestowed upon, but what you have to understand is it's like a tsunami. Is that you have the waves coming up, and you know, the waves come up, they go back, they come up, they go back, and they're within that. So how much they're coming up, that much they're going back. But then suddenly you see that the waves go out, and they go out for a huge distance. Half a kilometer, like that. More. And people are so amazed. Wow, look at that, the water is receding. But what that means is going to be a huge wave that will just come in and destroy everything. So, like this, then the gods have bestowed their grace. Dushasana is continuing speaking. Kunti's sons are deprived of happiness and kingdom forever. Right, because that's the point, forever. He says, because these stakes, we'll always find them. We'll always send them back to the forest. So forever, then they'll lose the kingdom. Those who laughed at Duryodhana shall now abandon their royal robes and armor and go to the forest possessing nothing. Right, Duryodhana bumped into a door that, you know, made out of crystal he didn't know was a door. And then thought he was walking on some water that wasn't. Then he fell into some water. So it's just a little, you know, some fun amongst cousins. But here, the making Duryodhana uncomfortable amongst brothers when they're having a little joke amongst themselves, then it's such a serious crime that those who have laughed at him now shall forever and, you know, eternally and forevermore, you know, suffer and be miserable like that, as if he's so important. Like that. So you just see all these things. It's just the demoniac mentality cannot understand how they're not the center of everything and how everything shouldn't go their way. And when they want it, it should come immediately. They have no patience, no character, no culture. Very, very difficult. Relishing the moment to the full, right? Because they seeing other people miserable, then that makes them happy. So it's the opposite of the devotees, the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, when someone's miserable, then they become compassionate. Dushasana continued to taunt the Pandavas with cruel words, seeing the five brothers in their black deerskins, right? So Duryodhana was saying that we've done so much bad stuff, you know, then there'll definitely be a war and there'll be destruction here. But now, again they go, and again they taunt and create so much more problem. Because now he's thinking, oh no, our plan is so strong and solid. They'll never come back, so we can harass them as much as we like, and we'll never get any reaction. Seeing the five brothers in the black deerskins resembling five powerful rishis, he said, although the Pandavas look like wise men installed in a sacrifice, right? Because others put it on, they just look like Kshatriyas wearing deerskins. These guys look like rishis. Right, so even that he'll insult, that potency and power that they have for their piety and their devotional credits. They should now be considered unworthy to perform any sacrifice. Right, is that even though they look like sages, they should be understood they can't do anything. You know, like this. You know, but yeah. Dushasana then turned towards Draupadi. And here's the thing, before they insulted her, and that was the worst part, and still he has to keep doing it. King Draupadi did not act well when he bestowed this princess upon the Pandavas, who are impotent men. Right, they're only able to do all this because their father's attached, and so he goes with it. It's not that they were able to accomplish this. Oh, Draupadi, what joy will you get from serving your husbands in the forest? Select a better husband from amongst the Kauravas so this calamity may not overwhelm you. Do not waste any more time waiting upon the Pandavas. Bhima rushed towards Dushasana like a Himalayan lion might rush towards a jackal. You crooked wretch, you rave in words uttered only by the sinful. You have won today only by Shakuni's skill. Yet still, you dare to boast, right? It's only Shakuni's skill. They had nothing to do with it. It was Shakuni's plan. Shakuni threw the dice and won. All they did is have unlimited material desire that can't be contained, and their father's attached. That's the limit of the glory of their what they've done. It means nothing. It's like a child throwing a tantrum and the parent giving in. And then they're boasting how great and powerful they are and all these things like that. As you pierce our hearts with words as sharp as arrows, so shall I pierce your heart in battle to remind you of your words today. Then I shall send you to Yamaraj's abode along with your followers. Right? So he said this again. Giving up all shame, Dushasana laughed and danced around in the crew's midst, taunting Bhima by singing, O cow, O cow. Bhima restrained himself with difficulty by fixing his mind on virtue. He spoke again to the sneering Dushasana. Wretch, how do you dare to use such harsh words, having won by foul means? Like, Kshatriyas are supposed to be above. This is for criminals. Kshatriyas are not supposed to act on these principles. I shall surely tear open your chest and drink your life blood in battle, or I will never attain the regions of bliss. My anger shall be pacified only when I have slain all of Dhritarashtra's sons. Right? So now here again he's mentioning. Before it was he's going to kill Dushasana, he's going to kill Duryodhana by breaking his thighs. Now he's mentioning he's going to kill all 100 sons. So it's been said quite a few times now. So Yudhishthira headed for the door, followed by his brothers and Draupadi. In great joy, Duryodhana walked alongside Bhima, mimicking his powerful lion-like gait. He can only mimic. He doesn't have that gait. Half turning towards him, Bhima said, "Do not think that by this you have gained any victory over me. I will be back to kill you and all your followers. Neither of us will forget what has happened today." Right? It means if they had Dhritarashtra had asked them to, forgive all these things because they're foolish and all that, and they're uncultured. Well, the Pandavas are cultured. And so they were ready to forgive as long as nothing came up again. But now that this has come up again, there's no question of forgiving, because that means Dhritarashtra's words have zero value, because he's given them everything, and then he calls them back because of attachment to his son. So his position as king and all that has no meaning, as factually as far as of virtue. Like that. But they're following the elders, they're doing their duty. But as far as Dhritarashtra's sons, all those positions, they don't have a position. Dhritarashtra was still silent. Bhishma, Vidura, Drona, and Kripa, all of whom were shedding tears to see the Pandavas go into exile, called out, "Fie, fie." They looked helplessly at the blind king. Before the Pandavas left, they stopped before the king, and Bhima spoke again. "I shall kill Duryodhana and all his brothers, O king. Arjuna will slay Karna, and Sahadeva will kill the evil Shakuni. My words will be made good by the gods. When I have beaten Duryodhana to the ground with my mace, I shall then place my foot on his head." So as they're parting and all that, then this is Bhima's parting words. Like that. Doesn't say he shouted, he just spoke this. He's just speaking this as just matter of fact, this is what's going to happen. Arjuna added, "The promises of superior men are not empty words." Right? Because Bhima is now, this is the third time he's saying this. And he's giving more detail. And they're superior men. And Dhritarashtra has already pointed out, the Pandavas are superior, his sons are inferior. Because they can't control themselves. So Arjuna added, "The promises of superior men are not empty words. You will see all this come to pass in the 14th year. As Bhima directs, I will kill Karna, who is malicious, jealous, harsh-speeched, and vain. I will also slay all kings who foolishly stand against me in battle. My vow is not carried out, then so shall the Himalayas be moved or the sun rays become cool. I will not fail. This will come to pass in 14 years if Duryodhana does not return our kingdom." And he's saying, here, he's pointing out, if they return the kingdom, then, as before, we'll forget. We'll leave it. But if they don't return the kingdom, then all these things that Bhima said, everything's coming to pass. Arjuna felt sure that Duryodhana would never return their kingdom, because he can understand what they were trying to do. It was supposed to be friendly match, and they're just taking everything and just using it to their advantage. So they can understand that this is their purpose. The war was inevitable. All the brothers, so all it is now Duryodhana has given himself 14 years to prepare for this war. That's all he's done. But they're so foolish that they think, well, maybe they'll win. Or maybe they'll find the Pandavas, in incognito and send them back to the forest. So there's always that, well, maybe, All the brothers knew it. As Arjuna finished speaking, Sahadev, sighing like a snake and his eyes red with anger, said, Shakuni, you have destroyed the fame of your race. What you call dice are actually pointed arrows aimed at your heart. If you have anything left to do in this life, do it now, for I shall certainly kill you in battle when we return from the forest. But Nakula also vowed to rid the earth of Duryodhana's followers. Having made their promises, the brothers turned towards Duryodhana. Like last time when they left, they didn't say anything. But this time, he's not telling them this and that, and you're great, my sons are that. He's just silent, listening to the whole thing. So as they go, they make their promises. Dhritarashtra said, I bid you farewell, O king, and also you, O Kuru elders. I shall see you all again upon my return. I bow to you and ask your blessings. The elders were too ashamed to reply. They prayed for the Pandavas' welfare. After a moment, Vidura spoke, Your mother, the revered Kunti, is a royal princess and should not be made to go to the forest. She is delicate and old. Let that blessed lady remain in my house while you are gone. Yudhishthira agreed, saying, You are our uncle and as good as our father. Let it be as you say. We are all obedient to you. Without doubt, you are our most respected guru. Please command us what else should be done. O Yudhishthira, best of the Bharat race, Vidura replied. Do not feel pain by this turn of events. There is no shame in being defeated by sinful means. Your five brothers will, because if you're defeated by sinful means, you haven't done anything wrong. So you still stand in your position. Yes, maybe you've lost, but your position and piety in that is not lost. You five brothers will reside happily in the forest, enjoying each other's company along with the virtuous Draupadi. You have already received many instructions from rishis and saints. The exile will be a further opportunity to receive spiritual training. Because they went to the forest before they were doing that, when they were young, that was what they're doing. So this will be the third time that they're going and living in this way. The learned Domya and the godly Rishi Narada will instruct you as to lead a simple forest life. You will benefit by your withdrawal from worldly affairs and wealth. Right? So the details of how to live in the forest and what kind of arrangements to make, then Narada and Domya will explain how that's done. Yeah. You will benefit from your withdrawal from worldly affairs and wealth. Right? And Duryodhana will just, wallow in that. Vidura wished them well, praying that they would return safely. He blessed them that they might obtain benedictions from the principal gods, victory from Indra, patience from Yamaraj, charity from Kuvera, sense control from Varuna, strength from Vayu, forbearance from the earth, and energy from the sun god. Finally, Vidura said, Leave then with our permission, O son of Kunti. None can accuse you of ever having acted sinfully. Farewell. So we can see in this overall, by those who are pious in that, they consider he's acted properly. Duryodhana has been the one that's behaved badly. Because you might say, but they lost and went to the forest, but that's not the principle. Human life is meant for how to carry on in a way to become God conscious. So they're following that. Duryodhana is the one that's behaving badly. Yudhishthira thanked his uncle for his blessings and bowed low before him. Bhishma and Drona, each of his brothers then offered their respects to the Kuru elders, who in turn blessed them. They then made their way out of the hall. So they before they go, they take the blessings of the elders and everything like that. And so then with these blessings and their good behavior and all that, then everything will go nicely. They say they'll be back and all this. Duryodhana is thinking, they can say whatever they want, we'll find them. But we see the Krishna's arrangements they want. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.